You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
Tuesday, 18 June, we've got US inventory data due 4 p.m., slight increase expected. I'm Simon Brown, coming to you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, Carmen Mepurani, independent analyst. We're seeing all the optimism building around SA stocks. What about the forgotten leisure stocks? Southern Sun's at highs, but the others seem to be a little bit forgotten. Is there some value there? Martin Ackerman from Citadel on the slow grind of change. He says things are not going to happen in a hurry. I also want to dig into some of that GDP data. And the Nicholas Buerta tax compliance team, rise of investment migration for health security and global mobility. This show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines for MoneyWeb. There's a crisis in South African newsrooms, monumental loss of the expertise, institutional knowledge and capacity to hold power to account that our democracy and economy depend on. It's the Media 24 shutting down a number of papers. Business Day, Vodacom fires 631 workers over fraud. Corporate Security Division investigates more than 8,000 cases of alleged fraud or irregularities in the year to end March. Morning markets, US was green, S&P up 0.75%, NASDAQ up 1.25%, both all-time highs. Easter's mixed, Sydney up 0.5%, Tokyo up 0.9%, Hong Kong then down 0.2%, and Tencent down 0.05%. Commodities are green, gold 2,339, Brent 84.12, platinum 980, and palladium a dollar higher, 896. Rand is 18.27, Bitcoin 65,700, and top 40 opening call, green open, 150 points or 0.2% higher.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Trading now with Carmen Mepurani, independent analyst. Carmen, appreciate the early morning time. There's been a lot of talk around improving consumers over the next year or so, lower rates, inflation coming down, spending from the two-pot system, some folks taking money out to spend. The talk has been around the retail spaces, clothing, groceries to a degree. But what about holidays, local and abroad? Is there perhaps opportunity in the local leisure stocks, which we all kind of seem to, well, certainly myself, kind of forgotten about over the last year or so.
It always amazes me, Simon, how you find these long forgotten, as you say, stocks hiding in the corner. My concern generally, I think, with the sector is let's first start locally. On the stock exchange side, These stocks are very small. Well, not very small cap, but they're small cap stocks to begin with. Which makes them a bit harder for a lot of big investors to actually take significant stakes in them. So there's that. Then adding on to that, as you said, we've come out of the COVID era. We have seen some recovery, but if you look over the longer term, they still continue to struggle. On a performance basis. So if you go down to the practical level, as you said, can we look internationally? Can we look locally in terms of improvement around, let's just say, the tourism sector? So it's so hard to say, because we have to undo all the pain of the last 2 to 3, if you want to add the pandemic, let's say 4 years. Consumer remains under pressure, as you said. So once things do recover, the question is the first port of call to take a holiday or is it to stabilize your balance sheet for your family? We know that some of these entities have focused on the gambling side of things, but again, how much disposable income is there to actually go and gamble at this point? So it's so tenuous, it's so difficult. But as you've mentioned as well, with Southern Sun just recently declaring their first dividend, that I think surprised the market. It was taken positively. So I think it's really a matter of which set of management you're going to back if you are strong enough to go into the sector. Keeping in mind also, you know, we similarly to different entities or industries, you're now seeing changes with Airbnb coming in over the last few years, bookings.com. So new competitors, new ways of offering, of doing offerings. So you've got to be very creative to attract a tourist, I think, into your institution right now.
I take your point, and I particularly liked your point you made up. I just had a quick look. So City Lodge is about 2.6 billion market cap, Southern Sun, yep. Sun International, sort of the 8-ish billion rand market cap. They're small stocks, and if the likes of the really big investors, the Allan Grays, the Coronations, the PRC, they're just too small for them. They're too small for most in investors. It makes it difficult to see how they're going to run higher.
No, and that's exactly it. You know, I know that there are certain fund managers that have small cap funds specifically where this would be perfect for. But it is if you look at small cap stocks, you know, the volatility sometimes can just drown you out. So it's a matter of, do you have a strong stomach? What does your mandate dictate? And can you play the long game if that's required?
Yeah, 100%. I take your point on that. Kamran Mepwani, independent analyst, always appreciate the early morning time.
There's no postponing the inevitable. Your money knew this day would come. And you know what? It can hardly wait to start giving some back to you. When you invest in Stanlib's fixed income funds, you can retire earning a regular income off your investments. Invest for more certainty at stanlib.com/more. Stanlib is an authorized financial services provider and a registered manager.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
I'm chatting with Martin Ackerman from Citadel. Martin, appreciate the time today. A new coalition government feels exciting, feels like change, but truthfully, it's not going to happen in a hurry. Policy change is a marathon rather than a sprint. And in fact, it's a comrades marathon, not even a standard marathon.
Yes, yeah, I think the big concern is even if policy remains the same, we're looking for whoever is in charge to be able to execute more efficiently and make sure that, you know, the changes are implemented. And unfortunately, so far, you know, we are a very young democracy, and our experience from coalition governments, you know, in the past, if you think about it, it's not great. You know, time will tell. It is probably a step in the right direction. But what is needed right now in terms of addressing our issues, it is really to make sure that there's some muscle to actually execute this policy. And hopefully we will start to see that in the weeks to come now that, you know, most of the negotiations are behind us.
And that's the point. And if we look back at the first quarter GDP, I mean, there were some glaring issues there that need fixing. I mean, construction, mining, industrial sector, all retreating, and to a degree, not exclusively, that's a load shedding story. And of course, the other giant SOE issue we have now is logistics. And there's no quick fix to logistics, although load shedding does seem to be, shall we say, improving or perhaps improved, but not necessarily gone.
Yes, I think the first half of this year, first quarter GDP, and then some of the high frequency data that came out since, almost support, you know, this whole running into the election. The focus is not on policy or implementation thereof. It was all around, you know, the political campaign. And now after the election, you know, it's all about getting the right partners around the table. No one is actually sitting there talking about how do we fix the Cape Town Harbour, which is now the worst harbour in the world. So I guess that is what we are looking for going forward. But that's part of the reason why the first quarter numbers were so weak. It is the structural issues that you refer to. Electricity seems to be slightly better, but I don't think we're out of the woods yet. The things are kind of front of mind. We do know that private sector is invited to be part of that, you know, changer. That's very new. That's something that we haven't seen, you know, over the last decade at least.
Yeah.
But even with that, we need to realize that this is a slow game. Private sector probably got a different kind of approach. They've got a profit incentive. They need to fix these things to make sure that their business survive. But that will take time. But again, I think a step in the right direction so that we can start to see results probably in the next 3 to 5 years. And this is the first thing that we need to do is to rebuild the infrastructure before we really can get to sustainable growth that will address some of the other issues that we are facing.
Absolutely. We need the ports, the roads, the railway lines before anything else can really happen. Another worrying slip was fixed investment starting to slip. That had been holding up, and truthfully, we're way behind the curve on what we should be spending. Is that because a lot of that fixed investment was, in truth, renewable energy? Most of us now have our solar panels. Most businesses have implemented either renewable or diesel. And that was a lot of the uplift there. Was there more to that picture?
Yeah, definitely. I think the two previous quarters not great in terms of moving in the wrong direction once again. Mm. Despite that, you know, the first seven quarters in a row that's been positive in more than a decade, I still want to celebrate. I do think there's some sign that, you know, business is reinvesting back into capacity. Coming off a high base effect after the solar boom, I fully agree that is also in those numbers. So the solar boom is blowing off some steam. Some of the tax incentives that we've seen last year, you know, that done their course. It was only a two-year window. So there's definitely that in the number. Also, looking into more detail, a lot of residential developments being under pressure that talks to our high interest rates. And hopefully in the second half of this year, we might start to see some relief from that front. But I'm still confident that, you know, we will see positive numbers again going forward in terms of the investment front. And we need to see that again to, you know, if we're going to rebuild infrastructure, those numbers need to be positive. We need to get back to about 20% of GDP to really get onto a sustainable path.
You mentioned interest rates there. The FOMC at their last meeting, the dot plots now suggesting only one rate cut for 2024 and probably later rather than earlier. Can our Saab MPC cut ahead of the Federal Reserve, or would that be a non-starter?
They can. Nothing prevents them from doing that. We saw that the ECB took their first shot, so those things can happen. It all depends on the data and inflation. I think where we are right now, the Fed, after this week's inflation data in the US, made it quite clear that, exactly like you said, you know, we might see those cuts before the end of this year, probably a little bit slower, but they are coming. Our central bank, very often in step with what the Fed is doing, simply not trying to remove, call it that sweetener between our yields and the US, because that will weaken the rand, which is then again inflationary. But I think there's a good chance that our governor this time around, the Reserve Bank, might actually cut before the US. If not, then definitely in line with them. So be it as it may, that implies that we're also going to probably see our first rate cut in South Africa by the end of this year.
Yeah, very much hoping that we do. We'll leave it there. Martin Ackerman, Chief Economist, Citadel. Appreciate the time. That's our question today on LinkedIn and Twitter around the ability of the new government to implement change quickly. As Martin says, it is a process, and it's one thing to write a law and say this is the new law, but it's another to actually sort of get that down to the ground. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter.
When you stay invested over time in Stanlib's Global Multi-Strategy Diversified Growth Fund, your money's in for some smooth sailing. With our global partners, JP Morgan Asset Management, at the helm, your money can withstand the pressure and bad weather day-to-day market conditions cause. All aboard? Seek more returns at stanlib.com/more. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
Chatting now with Nicholas Buerter, Tax Team Compliance and Processing Manager, Tax Consulting SA. Nicholas, appreciate the early morning. In a recent note, you make the observation that you've seen a surge in inquiries around relocating tax residency. As I get it, essentially, there's two sort of ways. The more popular, perhaps, is residency and citizenship by investment. And a lot of folks will know this into Spain and Portugal, because, of course, it's actually much wider than just that.
Yes, morning, Solomon. Definitely something that we're seeing a rise in trends, you know. I think many South Africans, that obviously for various reasons in the past, have been wanting to immigrate abroad due to their reasons, but definitely a spike based on healthcare, you know. So I think it's become quite a critical item for South Africans.
I take your point. Of course, NHI, what, about 2 weeks or maybe a month ago was signed in. In terms of the residency by investment, I mean, what sort of numbers are we looking at? I mean, how expensive is it potentially? Is this for the very, very high net worth or just the slightly well off?
I think it's very much dependent on the country, you know. So a lot of countries are more aimed towards the high net worth, you know, whereas there are a few other countries that just want those critical skills as well. So for a good example, we were recently in Netherlands, and there it's just based on your entry level guy. But then it's a bit more of a long-term process, you know, a five-year plan that the guy's then getting his citizenship. Whereas the bit more expensive ones, those are immediate and you don't have to be there for that significant period of time.
That's a great point. Different T's and C's across the different nations and their requirements. The key point, I imagine, is that this is for a family. Certainly it's going to be a spouse, it's going to be kids. In some cases, would it perhaps even include parents?
Yes, definitely. So there's a few places that obviously the priority is yourself and your immediate family. Mm-hmm. But definitely we see people, once they've got that citizenship status, that they can start pulling off the bit more physically impaired parents, you know, that need that extra care.
A key point is, and you talk around sort of financial immigration, and we're talking here practically immigrating, but, you know, immigrating is more than just offshoring your monies. You've actually got to go through what I imagine is a multi-step process with SARS if you are going to financially immigrate. You don't just sort of pack your bags and pop up somewhere else.
Certainly. So I think that's what a lot of guys forget, is there's the physical immigration aspect, you know, which is really tough and draining and getting your family abroad there. And then you don't often realize the tax implications and that financial immigration to get your status solidified with SARS. Make sure that they can't tax your foreign earnings now that you're there, you know. You have to then look at potentially applying the double taxation agreements to avoid double taxes. Mm-hmm. So it's not just let me move abroad and I'm sorted. Let me financially also protect myself and ensure that planning. And also a big aspect for us is the exit tax, you know. So if you've got large investments, you're a high net worth guy, you've decided to purchase a visa abroad, what's the implication of your exit from a capital gains perspective?
Of course, I hadn't thought of that. And it is, I mean, it is, and it's always the case for SARS, it is around that compliance. I mean, in essence, they will approve, assuming your affairs are in order, but you're going to have to jump through the hoops, do the paperwork, and potentially, as you say, there is an exit tax, which they will want their slice of as well. They're not going to say no, but they are going to make you do all the bits and pieces.
Correct. So, I mean, the process itself is very admin intensive and a lot of red tape. And then also with the introduction of that approval international transfer, we can see that SARS doesn't want high net worth guys sending their money abroad, you know. Much higher hoops to jump through there in terms of just remitting your funds and getting clearance for that.
We'll leave that there. That's Nicholas Butt. He's a tax team compliance and processing manager at Tax Consulting SA. Appreciate the early morning. That's it for today. We're chatting with Gerrit Smit from Stonehage Fleming on Friday. The need to pay up for higher valuation for quality stocks. I'm certainly guilty of this, where I've liked a stock and I've looked at it and I thought, I like it, but it's too expensive. And then, of course, you look at it a little bit later and it's not like it ever got cheap. Quality is expensive. So we asked you if you were prepared to pay for quality. It was pretty much evenly split. Those saying yes, always, you got to pay up for it. There is no cheap way. And the rest saying nope, you want the quality, but you want it cheaply. So as I say, evenly split there. And of course, the implication is, what about value? And he was, I don't want to say dismissive, but he did say, in a low growth environment, value struggles. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning on the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nobokhle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. If you're loving the show, please leave us an awesome rating and review in your podcatcher of choice. And we'll chat again tomorrow, checking in the post-parliament bond market.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.